Southeastern Baptist Seminary Chapel Service, Thursday, March 3, 1988. Our speaker is Dr. H. Eugene McLeod, Professor of Bibliography.
Let's pray together. Almighty and everlasting God, creator of heaven and earth, you who created us in your image, and you who have transformed the symbol of the cross from a symbol of humiliation and scorn and death to a symbol of joy and victory, of peace and of life. We have come here again today to meet with you. You were here before we arrived this morning. Indeed, you were with us before we even arose. We have come here today to attempt to blot out the things in our minds and our hearts that are clamoring for our attention. And we have come here to hear a transforming word from you, a word that will transform us afresh and anew. And so in these few minutes that we have together, we want to hear a word from you. And it is our desire that the meditations of our minds as we spend these few moments together will be acceptable to you. We offer you our praise. We offer you our prayer. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. The choir will sing an anthem that is based on the text of hymn number 486. You are invited to turn to that hymn and to meditate upon the words which the choir will sing. Hymn number 486, verses 1, 2, and 5.
I'm grateful for David Hafer's participation in the leadership of worship this morning. The scripture passage I've chosen for our meditation this morning is from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 3, verses 7 through 11. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as refuse, in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own based on law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that if possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. In the verses immediately preceding this passage, Paul has stated his grounds for confidence in the flesh by listing his superior credentials as a former devout and zealous Jew. Such things were once great assets to him. Our passage begins a dramatic testimony to the changed direction of his life and a powerful confession of a dynamic faith. With great emphasis, he declares that he now considers all those formerly great assets to be a loss because of Christ. Moreover, everything is now of no value to him because of the incomparable value of his personal relationship with Christ, his knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. This new relationship has caused him to lose all things. But far from grieving, Paul regards them as he would scraps from the table or sweepings from the street. Explaining further, Paul says that his new valuation of things is for the purpose of living in a new status before God. This new life is one in which he gains Christ, or figuratively makes Christ his own, and at the same time exists in Christ, such that his life is determined by Christ as it proceeds out of God's act of salvation. In this new situation, he has no righteousness earned by keeping the law. Rather, he has righteousness that comes from God on the basis of his faith in Christ. Not that the faith earns the righteous verdict, but faith establishes the relationship in which God, as an act of grace, judges him righteous. Paul then returns to the thought he began with, the concept of gaining Christ and being found in him. He would know Christ in a personal relationship that both includes and stems from experiencing the power available from Christ's resurrected presence. Knowing this power is closely connected to participating with Christ in his suffering, even to the extent that he is conformed to the likeness of Christ in the death that he suffered. The ultimate goal for which Paul hopes with confidence is his own resurrection from the dead. As I have read this passage over the years, I have been thrilled each time by Paul's testimony to his relationship with Christ. I have usually also had a bit of an uneasy feeling that Paul might be talking about a level of knowing Christ that is beyond my experience. If that is true, does it have to be so? As followers of Christ, all of us surely want to know him as fully as we can. Or do we? Certainly there are levels or degrees of knowing Christ. We come to know him in some measure through whatever witness leads us to our profession of faith. A broader, deeper knowing occurs as we grow in discipleship through the witness of the Christian community and through the spiritual disciplines of Bible study and prayer. Many of us have come to know Christ much more fully through our participation in this community of faith and learning. In our scripture passage, Paul relates knowing Christ to sharing his sufferings and becoming like him in his death. This is indeed a serious level of knowing, one we might not wish to embrace. Paul has already suffered for the sake of the gospel and is in prison even as he writes to his beloved Philippian friends. He identifies his suffering with which Christ, the suffering Christ endured. As Paul has opened himself to experience the power of Christ's resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings, his life is being conformed to that of the obedient servant of the cross, of which he wrote earlier in this letter, in the second chapter, verses 6 through 11. This level of knowing Christ is in harmony with statements by Jesus to the effect that anyone who would be his disciple must take up a cross and follow him. Jesus identified himself radically with a caring, liberating ministry to the poor, the broken, and the oppressed of the world. We are sure that the living Christ continues that identification and ministry. Henry Nouwen says that in a world where upward mobility is so highly valued and seductive, Christians, called as we are to follow Christ, are called to downward mobility, where downward mobility with Christ, who is always moving down where the pain and brokenness is. There is where he invites us to join him and to share his sufferings today. Perhaps there we can come to know him best. Far from being burdened by a heavy demand to share in Christ's sufferings, Paul's knowing Christ at that level is not only of incomparable worth to him, but also seems to be a source of joy to him. This can only be by the grace of God, which is seen in two different ways in our scripture passage. First, there is the empowerment of having righteousness granted by God on the basis of faith, rather than righteousness that is earned by keeping the law. Second, there is the power of Christ's resurrection. The power of his resurrection is the power from God made available to Paul and to each one of us through the presence of the living Christ. Those who do share Christ's sufferings in direct ministry to broken persons often testify to meeting and knowing Christ there in a special way. Henry Nouwen moved about 2 years ago from Harvard, where he was concentrating upon, as he said, the brightest and best, to the Daybreak community near Toronto, where he works with a community for mentally handicapped people. He lives in a house with 6 handicapped people and 3 other assistants. He has written recently of this experience, and I would like to share a brief portion of the story he tells of Adam. Adam is one of the 10 people that live in this house. Nouwen says, "Never having worked with handicapped people, I was not only apprehensive but even afraid to enter this unfamiliar world. This fear did not lessen when I was invited to work directly with Adam. Adam is the weakest person in our family. He is a 25-year-old man who cannot speak, cannot dress or undress himself, cannot walk alone or eat without much help. He does not cry or laugh, and only occasionally makes eye contact. His back is distorted, and his arm and leg movements are very twisted. He suffers from severe epilepsy, and notwithstanding heavy medication, there are a few days without grand mal seizures. Sometimes, as he grows suddenly rigid, he utters a howling groan, and on a few occasions I have seen a big tear coming down his cheek. It takes me about an hour and a half to wake Adam up, give him his medication, undress him, carry him into his bath, wash him, shave him, clean his teeth, dress him, walk him to the kitchen, give him his breakfast, put him in his wheelchair, and bring him to the place where he spends most of the day with different therapeutic exercises. When a grand mal seizure occurs during this sequence of activities, much more time is needed, and often he has to return to sleep to regain some of the energy spent during such a seizure. Nouwen says, I tell you all of this not to give you a nursing report, but to share with you something quite intimate. After a month of working this way with Adam, something started to happen to me that never had happened to me before. This deeply handicapped young man, who by many outsiders is considered a vegetable, a distortion of humanity, a useless animal-like creature who should not have been allowed to be born, started to become my dearest companion. As my fears gradually decreased, a love started to emerge in me so full of tenderness and affection that most of my other tasks seemed boring and superficial compared with the hours spent with Adam. Out of this broken body and broken mind emerged a most beautiful human being, offering me a greater gift than I would ever be able to offer him. Henry Nouwen goes on to tell more about the impact of Adam on his life. He never puts it in these words, but from reading it, I know that Henry Nouwen now knows Christ Jesus his Lord far, far more deeply and intimately than ever he knew him before. I pray that each one of us will find it possible in our lifetime to have such an experience as this with another human being.
May the grace and the love and the peace of God through Jesus Christ our Lord abide with us and permeate our personalities as we go forth from this place. It's in His name we pray. Amen.